Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today we're diving into the world of computer vision, specifically the challenge of reconstructing urban scenes from limited camera viewpoints. Our guest, Lead Research Name, is a leading researcher in this field and has a fascinating paper to share with us. Can you give us a quick overview of your work and what it addresses?
Thanks for having me. Our research focuses on what we call extrapolated view synthesis, EVS, in urban scene reconstruction. The problem is, most existing methods use images taken from driving vehicles, typically with forward-facing cameras. This means they excel at generating views similar to the training data, but struggle to accurately reconstruct scenes from other angles, like looking down or to the sides. This is a major limitation for applications like autonomous driving or virtual reality, where you need a comprehensive understanding of the environment.
So, are you saying that current methods are like looking at the world through a tunnel vision? They can see straight ahead, but not what's on the sides or above.
That's a great analogy. It's precisely the issue. Think of a self-driving car. It needs to anticipate potential hazards or pedestrians coming from different directions, not just what's directly in front of it. Current methods aren't equipped for that. So our goal is to develop a method that can synthesize accurate and photorealistic views from perspectives outside the training camera distribution.
That sounds like a huge challenge. You've been working on urban scene reconstruction for a while now. What are your thoughts on the importance of this research and the limitations it addresses?
This work is absolutely crucial. We need to move beyond this forward-facing camera bias. It's limiting the potential of many applications. Imagine a self-driving car navigating a busy intersection, or a virtual reality game player needing to look around a virtual city. The ability to accurately synthesize views from any angle is essential. This research tackles a crucial bottleneck in the field.
Let's delve deeper into your methodology. Can you explain how you're tackling this challenge? You mentioned 3D Gaussian splatting. Can you walk us through that?
Sure. We use 3D Gaussian splatting as our scene representation. Instead of using a continuous function like other neural radiance fields, it uses a collection of 3D Gaussian distributions. Each Gaussian represents a point in the scene, with its position, density, color, and orientation defined by the covariance matrix. It's a bit like a cloud of fuzzy points, each with its own unique properties. This allows for efficient real-time rendering and can capture fine details.
So imagine you're trying to model a street scene. Each Gaussian would be like a tiny fuzzy ball representing a brick in the sidewalk, a leaf on a tree, or a part of a car. By combining all these Gaussians, you get a 3D representation of the entire scene. It's a very flexible way to represent complex environments. That makes sense. And how do you get this cloud of Gaussians to accurately represent the scene? You mentioned LiDAR data. How does that fit in?
LiDAR provides us with a point cloud of the environment, essentially a 3D map of the scene. We use this point cloud to initialize the positions of our Gaussians. It gives us a starting point for our scene reconstruction. This is crucial because LiDAR data gives us a strong initial understanding of the scene's geometry, which helps our model converge more efficiently during training.
So LiDAR acts as a kind of blueprint, guiding the model towards a realistic representation of the scene. That's smart.
Exactly. It's a great starting point. But even with LiDAR, we have another key challenge. The shape and orientation of the Gaussians are critical for accurate view synthesis, and they can be tricky to optimize. This is where our innovative covariance guidance comes in.
Okay, this is getting interesting. Let's get into the heart of your methodology. What is this covariance guidance, and why is it so important?
Here's the problem. If we only train our model on forward-facing cameras, the covariances of the Gaussians tend to overfit to that perspective. They become elongated in a way that's good for seeing straight ahead, but if you try to look to the side or down, you get these strange artifacts and missing parts. We call this lazy covariance optimization. The model takes the easiest path, minimizing the loss for the forward-facing views, but not optimizing for other angles.
So, it's a bit like a lazy student who only studies for the questions they know will be on the test and then fails the ones they haven't prepared for.
That's a good way to put it. To overcome this, we guide the covariance of the Gaussians to better reflect the underlying surface of the scene. We do this by incorporating surface normal information. We train a separate model to predict surface normals from the training images, and then use that information to shape and orient the covariances.
So you're basically teaching the Gaussians how the surface should look, not just how to represent a single viewpoint. That's clever.
Precisely. We have two key components for this: the covariance axes loss and the covariance scale loss. The axes loss makes sure that one of the covariance axes aligns with the predicted surface normal, while the scale loss flattens the Gaussian along that axis, preventing those artifacts we mentioned earlier. This ensures a more accurate and consistent representation of the scene.
And how does the diffusion model come into play? That's a new element that's been making waves in computer vision recently.
Yes, diffusion models are really powerful tools for image generation. We use a large-scale diffusion model, which has been trained on a massive dataset, and fine-tune it with our training images to incorporate scene-specific knowledge. Then, we leverage denoising score matching to guide the rendering process. This essentially teaches our model what a visually plausible scene should look like, even from unseen angles.
So, the diffusion model is like a visual expert, teaching your model what's considered normal in a city scene. That's a great way to add visual realism.
Exactly. It acts as a teacher, helping our model generate visually plausible images, even when it's synthesizing views it hasn't seen before.
That's fascinating. From your perspective, how significant is this use of diffusion models for urban scene reconstruction?
It's very exciting. Diffusion models have been a game changer in image generation, and their application to scene reconstruction is groundbreaking. It's a unique way to tackle the challenge of visual realism in EVS. This research shows the potential of combining these powerful tools for generating incredibly realistic and comprehensive 3D representations of urban environments.
Let's get to the heart of the results. What did your experiments show? How did your method perform compared to others?
We tested our method, which we call VEGS, on the KITTI 360 and KITTI datasets. We compared it to other state-of-the-art methods like MARS, BlockNerf++, and 3DGS. Our method consistently outperformed the baselines in terms of FADE, KID, PSNM, and LPIPS, indicating that it generated more visually realistic and accurate renderings, especially for those extrapolated views.
Those are some strong metrics. Can you provide any visual examples to illustrate the difference between VEGS and the other methods?
Absolutely. We have some visual comparisons here. You can see that VEGS does a much better job of handling those challenging views, like looking down or to the sides, where other methods tend to have artifacts or missing information. Our method captures the scene much more faithfully, producing more realistic and consistent views.
It's impressive how VEGS overcomes those limitations. But is there any room for improvement? What are the potential limitations of your approach?
That's a great question. While our method shows significant progress, there are still areas we can improve upon. One limitation is the computational cost. It takes a considerable amount of time to train the model. We're also reliant on LiDAR data, which isn't always readily available. And while we can handle static scenes with dynamic objects, further research is needed to effectively model complex motion in urban environments.
That's understandable. It's always a balancing act between performance and computational cost. What do you think are the biggest hurdles for this research moving forward?
The computational cost is a major concern. Making this technology applicable for real-time applications like autonomous driving requires significant improvements in efficiency. The reliance on LiDAR is also a factor. Developing approaches that can work with other sensors or even solely with images would be a major breakthrough. And yes, handling dynamic scenes, particularly those with complex motion, is another critical area for future research. Think of a car turning a corner or pedestrians walking across the street. These are challenges that need to be addressed.
So, what are your plans for future research? Where do you see this research going next?
We're focused on several key areas for future work. We want to refine the diffusion model to make it even more effective in generating visually realistic images. We're also exploring ways to incorporate semantic information, such as object labels, to further enhance the scene understanding and enable more advanced applications. And of course, we're actively working on better ways to handle dynamic objects and scenes. Our goal is to push the boundaries of urban scene reconstruction and create more realistic and comprehensive 3D representations that can benefit numerous applications.
That's exciting. Any final thoughts on the broader impact of this research? What are the potential implications for the future of urban scene reconstruction and its applications?
This research is a significant step towards creating more accurate and robust 3D representations of urban environments. This has huge implications for autonomous driving, allowing vehicles to navigate complex scenarios with greater confidence. It also opens up exciting possibilities for virtual reality, gaming, and urban planning. This research is paving the way for a more realistic and immersive digital world.
This is a remarkable achievement. Thank you for sharing your research with us. It's a testament to the power of innovation in computer vision and a major contribution to the field of urban scene reconstruction. It leaves us with an exciting question. What will the future of virtual and real-world interactions look like when we can seamlessly capture and recreate complex urban environments from any angle? Thank you both for joining us on the show today.